Hi, this is Chris Evans. I'm at NetApp's Insight event in Berlin this week, and I'm with Mark Bregman, CTO of NetApp. Mark, do you want to give us a bit of background about yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Chris. Well, as you said, I'm the CTO. I joined NetApp a little over a year ago. I have a background in the tech industry going back farther than I like to admit. I started at IBM. I was in semiconductors and systems and software. More recently, I was at Symantec for many years, originally Veritas, then we got acquired by Symantec. So I've been in the storage software side really since 2002.
Okay, great. One of the things that we talked about a few months ago was this thing that you're promoting called the Data Fabric. And I know that there are some updates today, this week, so it's an evolving platform. Could you just give us a bit of background and explain what it is and why you're doing it, and then maybe we can chat about some of the detail?
Sure. So, you know, NetApp historically was in the storage systems business, and data has to go somewhere, so storage is very, very important. But increasingly, the real focus for our customers and for businesses is on their data, not really on storing their data.
Yeah.
It's sort of similar to a bank. I mean, 50 or 100 years ago, if you wanted to choose your bank, you wanted to see the vault. Is that the vault I want? Can I trust them to store my money? Today, you take that for granted. Everybody's got a pretty good vault. What you care about are the services around your money, sort of equivalent to the data services. So
yeah.
The concept of the data fabric is to move up a layer above the storage, abstract the storage so that we can live in a world where people's data is on-prem, hopefully in a NetApp system, or in the cloud, or in a SaaS solution, and be able to abstract that so that we can deal with data no matter where it's residing.
Okay. So from the stuff I've seen so far, then that's an interesting part you just added in there, is the idea of SaaS. You're not necessarily restricting this to NetApp-only products. So it could be something that's running in the cloud, it could be a SaaS application. So this is about...
It could even be another vendor's on-prem solution.
Okay.
Although we haven't demonstrated that yet, our intent is to be completely heterogeneous.
Right. So ultimately, you're giving customers the ability to actually manage the data they've got as a separate offering to just the hardware solution for something.
That's right.
Now, why do you think that's... why do you think the industry is going that way? What do you think is the driving factor for that?
Well, we started by looking at this from the perspective of customers. And you start to ask the question, ask yourself, what is it customers are thinking about? What are they caring about? At a senior level, at the business level within an IT organization or even within a company. And the kind of questions you have are, where is my data? Is my data stored in a way that it's compliant with all the regulations and my own policies? Is it protected? Can I ensure that only appropriate people can access the appropriate data? You notice when I said that, the word storage hardly ever shows up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about the data, not about the storage.
I think that's a really interesting migration or step forward, because I've been thinking, or even saying it for a couple of years, that technology, certainly the hardware, it's not completely done, but it's at a level of maturity where it's very difficult to see what you would do next, other than make it faster, cheaper, you know. So at some stage you have to start looking at that data in more detail and saying the next set of services I can offer are in terms of managing that data more effectively. And I guess that's effectively what the Data Fabric is doing for you.
Well, that's certainly one dimension of it. You're absolutely right. Another one is that the focus now is on the applications and services that deliver value to the business.
Yeah.
And the people that are delivering or developing and operating the applications, they're not experts in storage. They don't want to think about storage. And historically, we had an organization that operated the infrastructure and another separate one that operated the applications and so on. With all of the pressures on enterprise cost, they want to simplify that. And they want to have a seamless way to have the users access their data, understand where it is, all those questions I asked before, without having to understand what's a LUN, what's a file,
yeah.
Is it, how do I deal with ONTAP versus something else? They don't want to know about that. They just want to deal with data.
Yeah. How much do you think this is being driven by the idea of cloud? Because it strikes me that public cloud, a lot of those hardware pieces, you just don't know. You know, you are abstracted away from it.
And I think a lot of it is driven by that. I mean, the cloud has brought in essentially a new paradigm for how to think about applications and services in which the underlying infrastructure is abstracted away. It's a service.
Yeah.
And we're in the on-prem world, that has not been the case. But as we introduce the data fabric, we're allowing an enterprise or a user to think of it the same way. it's just another attribute of data.
Right. So, taking it a step further then, it sounds like a great concept, a data fabric. It sounds like something that's all-encompassing, spanning everything. But actually, what is it today? Is it a set of services? Is it enablement of existing technology? Is it, you know, new stuff that's been developed?
It's a little bit of each of them. So maybe it's better to sort of describe how we're approaching it.
Okay.
So it started really as a sort of almost an architectural or a conceptual model of how we do things. Especially two years ago when George Kurian first talked about it at Insight, it was more of an idea or a concept of how we were going to build our products.
Right.
Since then, it's evolved as we started to understand the incredible importance of the cloud and the fact that it had to span the cloud as well as our own products. And beyond that, we've gone even further and said not only that, but it really has to span all storage, and it has to provide an open API so that other people can build services that leverage this data fabric.
Okay.
So that's the idea. Now, how we're doing it, we're not in the back room building some new thing which we're going to unveil on some date.
Okay.
Because we wouldn't get it right. What we're doing, rather, is we're starting to pick services that we think are vital to customers today. We're building those services, but we're keeping in mind the sort of fundamental tenets of the data fabric. And so as we deliver a service, we also look within that service and say, are there components of this which, in fact, should be common and could be used by other services?
Okay.
Those should become part of the data fabric. Those things that are unique, maybe the way it's presented, maybe certain attributes of the application or service that are unique to that, those will be in the application layer. But everything else will end up in the data fabric platform layer.
Okay, so some of those things could include replicating data between locations, maybe, looking at the data and running compliance checks against it, identifying data. So it could be about physical storing of the data, moving it around, but it could also be about looking at the data content
itself. Absolutely. I'll give you a good example. So one of the services which we demoed a year ago, and it's now a product, or it's now available, is something we call Cloud Sync. And it was demonstrated earlier this week by Joel.
Right.
So Cloud Sync allows you to synchronize data, I think you mentioned this earlier before we were talking, from an NFS to a cloud object store.
Yeah.
The use case is I have on-prem data, I want to move it to Amazon so that I can do Elastic MapReduce for big analytics. Great use case. As we built that service, we realized there's a core element of that service that does the data movement called XCP. That could be used by many other services.
Okay.
So we factor it out. That will be part of the platform, the data fabric, and the actual Cloud Sync itself will still be a service, but it'll be sort of split between what's in the service or application layer and what's in the base or platform layer.
So in that particular instance, is that delivered as a SaaS offering? Is it something the customer would install on their site?
Well, it is delivered as a SaaS offering, and our philosophy is to develop these things as SaaS offerings. And if a customer, for various reasons, says, no, it must be on my site,
okay,
we can put it in a virtual machine or a container, and they can run their own service.
And they can pick it up like that.
Okay.
I did see them. I saw Joe Caradonna on stage doing the Mars rover
demo.
And that was really interesting to see, because one of the things you are doing within that is there's a certain degree of transformation of the data too, because you're moving it from, you know, what is a traditional NFS platform to an object store platform, but maintaining consistency about that data. So there's a lot of different pieces to this from the way you're working.
You're right. So as you look at that solution, you might conclude, we haven't finished concluding this, that transformation function also might be a common function that should be in the platform. You know, if you think about the evolution of platforms, and the one that I think everyone's familiar with is Windows.
Mm-hmm.
In the very early days of Windows, the graphical capabilities were very rudimentary. You could put a pixel on a screen at a particular location with a particular color. And if you want to draw a circle, then the application programmer had to figure out how to compute circles.
I remember. I used to write programs that did things
right.
like that.
But pretty quickly, Microsoft said, well, wait a minute, there are some other primitives, circles, squares, triangles, that should be in the operating system, make it easier for the application programmer. Instead of having to compute in their application all the dots that make up a circle, you just call the circle function that's in the operating system. And that's a natural way that platforms evolve. Functionality that we recognize as becoming common use moves into the platform over time.
Okay.
So the bottom line is we're building solutions today. We're factoring those elements out, and they will be part of the platform. And over time, that platform will have more and more capability and will expand.
Okay. So what about exposing the platform to third parties to use? Is there an intention to make...
Absolutely.
Okay.
The intent is that the platform, the sort of the top side, the northbound side, if you will, of the platform should have open APIs and allow third parties to build their own services leveraging these capabilities in the platform. Now, if you think about it, what that means is if I have some specialized need, I can take advantage of this, and I don't need to understand all the vagaries of different storage endpoints. And I get some advantage, for example, I don't have to understand how to do data classification if that's a function of the platform.
Okay.
The advantage for us and for our customers is they'll have a much richer catalog of services from which to choose, some of which we will build, many of which, probably most of which, will actually be built by other people. And just like today when I buy a Microsoft Windows PC, I don't really care about the operating system. I care about the applications that are available and the fact that they operate easily together, that they can easily share data, that they have some level of quality control. It's the same idea. That's what we will see, the value we'll see, as this ecosystem of partners expands.
Are there any partners signed up today delivering services?
Well, because of the way we've started, we already have a number of partners who build on our existing APIs.
Okay.
But as we refine the data fabric and we sort of clean up those APIs, those customers will probably move over to more complete data fabric enabled.
Okay. And what's... I guess that's just... move on to one final thing for now and just say, you know, what's new? What can we expect to come up soon? Are we going to see any new releases in the next couple of days? I believe you're back on stage
in a couple hours, yeah. And I'm going to show two more demos. So now you're beginning to see our kind of our tempo, our drumbeat. We announced Data Fabric 2 years ago. A year ago, we showed some sort of speculative demos. This year, those demos are products.
Okay.
We're going to show some demos today. They're going to be available in products, both of them, within the next probably 6 months. So you'll see us continually showing something new and then productizing it. And we'll do things outside of Insight as well.
Right.
So the two demos we're going to show today, I think, are very interesting because they show different ways of thinking about the data fabric. The first one is we're demonstrating a new capability, which will be in a future release of ONTAP, called Fabric Pool.
Okay.
The concept is, or the problem it solves, is very straightforward. You have a large, high-performance, all-flash VAS, and as we all know, over time, the data in that has different heat, temperature.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's hot data I'm using all the time. It's really important to be there because it's leveraging the performance. And there's other data which was in the all-flash VAS, but it's cooled off. It's, you know, last quarter's financial reports or a year ago financial reports. And the traditional problem is, do I just go buy more all-flash VAS, or is there some way that I can tier that efficiently? Now, we've all heard of hierarchical storage management and many other techniques. They've never really worked because they required too much overhead of management. What we've done with fabric pools is we've automated the process within ONTAP so that a secondary store, an object store, could be, again, Amazon S3, it could be in Azure, it could be an on-premise NetApp box running our object technology. It could be the target. And ONTAP, based on the policies you set, will automatically and dynamically migrate data to that secondary store. But it maintains the namespace. So when an application goes back to ONTAP at a later date and needs to get access to that cold data, it automatically gets recalled into AFF, and you get the performance. So it's a very automated and simplified way of managing in the hybrid cloud environment. That's one example. It gets delivered as part of a NetApp, traditional kind of NetApp product. The other example, in contrast, actually has no NetApp technology in it or storage technology in it at all in the example we're using, and that's to help customers whose data is in SaaS solutions. Whether if you're a developer, it's maybe in Git. If you're a corporation, many of us are moving to Office 365, including NetApp. Or maybe you use Workday, or maybe you're in Salesforce.com. There's critical corporate data in that SaaS environment. And for compliance and protection and DR and many other reasons, you may want to have a copy of that.
Right.
Now, you may want it on-prem, or you may want to put it in a different cloud for protection. So the demo we're doing today is demonstrating Office 365 data being copied into an Amazon S3 catalog, and then being able to recall individual emails back into the local, well, not local, into the Office 365
right.
email. And we can do that because we have the data movement technology and other things that we've put into this solution. Again, some of the core technology in that solution will ultimately be available for others to leverage through the data fabric.
Right. It's really fascinating that we're starting to see object stores being used for unstructured data that would previously perhaps have been in a file system. It's really interesting to see that a lot of people are coming out with solutions that are merging the two and making object stores like a real useful repository for data. And, you know,
But it's tools like this that make it useful.
Yeah.
If you had to manually or build your own mechanism to do that, it would be very difficult for many enterprises.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was going to say, because people always say, why is object storage not, you know, come on as quickly as it has? And part of the problem, perhaps, is that addressability of how you get stuff in and out, and whether you have to have an application sitting in front of it. Technologies like we're talking about today with the Data Fabric are effectively delivering
enabling
that for you and enabling it, which is really interesting. Okay, brilliant. Well, that's been really really interesting to talk to you, Mark. Thank you very much for spending the time, and good luck for on stage later.
Great. Well, thanks, and hope to see you at Insight in the future as well.
Thank you.